Does everybody know what time it is?
Home and podcast time.
That's right, Binford Tools is proud to present a home improvement podcast. My name is Adam, and you all know my co-host, Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
Hi, Adam. How you doing on this Friday afternoon?
It's good. Back-to-back episodes. Well, not so much back-to-back, but two in a day.
It's kind of like a Tigers doubleheader or something. You play one a little earlier and then one a little later.
Yeah, basically same level of difficulty, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. It will be difficult for us to find things to talk about at the top of the show, and we didn't really plan anything, so we're just going to do some of that classic Adam Jordan riffing.
Yeah, usually it takes us a whole week to figure out something to talk about, so, you know, condense that down into 3 or 4 hours, and you're in a lot of trouble.
I'd say so. Jordan, what has occurred in your life since the last time we spoke about 3 hours ago? I think that's a good place to start.
That is evergreen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. I ate lunch. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. I showered. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good, too. I did not watch the Avengers movie like you wanted me to, unfortunately.
I was hoping you'd go watch the Avengers and we'd have something to talk about, but
no,
that probably
would
have taken up much of the time that you had between the episodes. So.
And by the time this came out, everyone else would have seen it. So.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So,
yeah, not me. What about you? What have you been up to?
You know, as soon
sounds like you were a bit frazzled.
Oh yeah, just it's busy. These Fridays of mine are busy. What did I do? I immediately had to start working on one of my side hustles. I don't want to go into detail.
Wait.
Yeah,
you have side hustles. This isn't your only gig.
No, I got a lot of side. I have too many side hustles.
I don't know if I can keep doing this with you if you're going to divert your
shockingly this takes up only just a small amount of my brain power. I have a lot more to spare. So, yeah, I had to do some work for one of my side gigs. And I'll tell you what I did do that was nice. It's pretty nice here, so I wanted to get outside and walk. So I took a little jaunt up. I live fairly close to a Goodwill, so every once in a while I'll walk up there and just see what the inventory is. So that was about a half hour, 40 minutes, nice little walk. I didn't buy anything. Here's something interesting I saw, and I almost bought, but I found myself like, you know, I'll often almost buy things at Goodwill, and then I have to do, like, a second of, like, do I really need this, you know, before I hit the register?
Sure, sure.
It was an autographed Doc Gooden baseball. But, yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't like Doc Gooden. It was only $4. I didn't get it, no. But
oh, you didn't, okay.
I mean, I still could. It's not going anywhere. I'll tell you.
I was at Goodwill yesterday, but yeah, a different one for different reasons.
Well, we'll talk about those reasons in a second. But I'll tell you what prevented me from getting the Doc Gooden baseball. So anytime they have something behind a glass case and I have to, like, ask them to open the glass case, that level of difficulty in getting the item is usually enough for me to not want the item. Like that,
the only time I've ever seen you buy something in a glass case was at the Mega Mall when you got that.
When I bought a tobacco pipe years ago. Yeah.
You weren't letting that glass case get to you then.
Well, that was we went out for that tobacco pipe. And this Doc Gooden baseball was just something I saw. Could I have picked it up and walked to the register with it? I probably would have got it. But, like I said, the glass case is just enough difficulty for me to generally say, I don't need it. Mm. Hey, man, why'd you go to Goodwill?
we've had some things that we wanted to donate and get rid of. So a couple things from Andrea's classroom. She's switching classrooms this summer.
Okay.
And we had like a, I don't know where we got this, but it was like a pumpkin stuffed animal type thing.
You've always had a lot of those, I feel like.
There seems to be pumpkins around all the time. So that made its way over to Goodwill. I'm sure
someone's
they were
really
happy
want
about
that. Someone's going to be excited for that.
Yeah. Then there was also one of those really nice paintings. You go to one of those like paint nights.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, man. Andrea's got a little bit of artistic flair, but she said it wasn't good enough for her. And
someone else would love that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I said, the weird thing is that this is going to be in someone's house, and it's signed by you.
Don't flatter yourself. That may end up in the trash somewhere.
It might. It's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I should have taken a picture.
You should have. I feel like those paint, I mean, I don't know what, like, is there a name for those things? The painting with wine night thing. I don't know if there's a technical name for it.
I think they all have different names.
Yeah, but I feel like those are probably really fun to do, but then you're stuck with this piece of art that, like, isn't really good enough to hang.
No, unless you're good.
Yeah, but if you're good, you're not going to those things.
You might.
Hard disagree, end of discussion. You're either you have to, like, hang it up, or you give it to somebody as a gift, but, like, no one really wants your, like, buzzed up, you know, kind of lousy painting. With the exception being when my mom gave me hers and I hung it up. But I hung it up in my old apartment for 2 years. So,
wow.
Exception to the rule. But generally speaking, you don't really, I don't know what you do with those canvases. But
you know, we have some older things that were by, like, her great-grandma and stuff that we've kind of kept. Mm-hmm. We haven't hung up yet. That's the problem. Like, why am I keeping it if we're not hanging them up? So we just have to...
So you're getting rid of things that were given to you by a grandmother?
No, okay. That's not okay. This. Okay. This I want to actually find a space for. We just have to frame it. We just have, like, the picture in Maddie. But, yeah. Wow. Goodwill.
Maybe you're a great place. Are they a sponsor?
They should be.
Yeah, they should be a sponsor. Yeah, Goodwill.
Donate some stuff. Give people some jobs.
Yeah, Goodwill is nice. Salvation Army is cheaper, dirtier, and they really, really play that Christian music a little too loud for my taste. But hey,
it drives you up the wall.
Tell you what, and they're never open on Sundays. What's the deal?
Oh, geez,
Jordan. I mean, if you have anything else you wanna say at the top of the episode, I think now is a good time. Otherwise, we probably should talk Home Improvement, because every week on this show, we do talk about an episode of Home Improvement. So
every week so far.
I mean, almost. You know, there's exceptions. Like, you know, we have an interview coming up. We've covered some movies. But mostly we talk about episodes of Home Improvement, and there aren't a lot of other podcasts out there that do that. So it is kind of our thing.
Yeah, the last thing I want to do is just plug your reboot script one more time. If you want to get access to the full 23-page reboot script...
I actually think it's 26, Jordan.
Oh my goodness, it just grows by the moment. you can go to patreon.com/homeandpodcast. As little as $1 a month will get you access immediately. It's already up there. We've had some people read it. Reviews are glowing, Adam.
Reviews are glowing. Richard Karn... he's been sent.
It's in his Twitter.
He's been
DM.
Sent a copy, so you know, maybe he'll look at it and he'll like it. But thus far, the good thing about the Twitter DMs, you can see when someone's received something. So I know he's read it, but he's yet to respond. So he's probably just figuring. You know, he's compiling all of his feedback in a long form letter. He's going
to
send it back.
Yeah, I mean, you got to read that a couple of times to really. And he's trying to act it out in his head. And
he's cast it. He's used his son, his wife. They're kind of playing different roles.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. So if you want to do that at home, maybe send us a video of you doing that.
Yeah, that'd
be
great.
Incredible.
Definitely. Yeah, I foresee a lot of people doing that.
A lot. Okay, so a lot of people will also listen to our coverage of episode 87, The Root.
Tons of people.
The Root of All Evil, yeah. Or The Route of All Evil. Depends on how you like to say that.
Which do you say?
I say Route.
Okay, yeah.
What do you say? Do you say Root?
Now I don't really know, because I'm sort of in my head. I would suspect, Root or
I think
route?
You're a Route man. Route 66.
I suspect I'm Root. I don't know. See, I think with regards to when you say Route 66, I think you need to say Root, but I think I probably say Route in every other case.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to... No, I'm just kidding. Get it. Go ahead.
Written by Lloyd Garver. This is his first, but he's going to be here for a while.
You said him. His name is Lloyd?
I said Lloyd.
Lloyd, oh. You know, we are
careful.
Firing on all cylinders here on our second recording, aren't we?
It turns out when we record two in a day, it gets a little worse. this is Lloyd's first of 16... he's done a few different shows, most notably the Bob Newhart show. That's what he was involved in a lot. Aired January 3rd, 1995, so we've eclipsed 1994 and we're in 1995 now. Hmm. Some plot keywords, not sure if you'll want to look at them or not, but new job, paperboy, and homework.
No, I guess not.
Nope, okay. No. So that leaves us with our alternative
titles. I see you
titles.
Skipped scene during end credits.
Oh, yeah, well...
I know, we didn't click on that. I feel like that's most sitcoms of the era, I would say.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. But it would probably list, you know, Marvel films or
hey,
something.
You know what, Jordan? Let's click on it and find out.
Oh, no.
All right. See,
well, you're there, not me.
I'm clicking on it. Most pop... You're right. That is dumb. It is just Marvel films. Is that their new thing?
I feel like if you every single thing, like every single movie, at least lately, you have to sit down and wait, and you Google and see if it's in the credits if you don't feel like waiting, and that's their thing.
That's
now.
Like a new. That's dumb. Well, number seven is Super Troopers, so there's something. Yeah, but these are all new movies.
Subverting the norms of right. today. All right, alternative titles. How many you got?
I have one, two. I have three, and then one that I will do if I need to do a fourth.
Okay, and I guess I don't know if it said a title reference, but the title reference, which I'm sure everyone gets, is the phrase "money is the root of all evil."
Who said it? Do we know?
We all did.
Oh, it's just a good colloquial.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. How many did you say? Alternatives?
I'll go with four. I'll do my bad one even.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got three, so you can go first.
All right. So the episode title is "The Root of All Evil." I guess I do say root. First one. Paper chasing.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Work-life imbalance.
Interesting.
No, it's not.
Interesting. I'm having trouble reading mine. Okay. Bike and deliver. That's a play on Stand and Deliver, the movie that is often shown in schools.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained it, because I would not have caught that.
But now you're more impressed.
But now I'm on board. Yeah. Now I want to stand and clap. All right. Cooking with Marie.
It's funny. Here's my bad one. It doesn't even know how to say it. Extra, extra. Read all about it. I couldn't even tie it to the show. It was the first one I wrote down. And I don't know. Fallout fails.
And you just thought, hey, I wrote it down first.
Eventually, I come up with better ones. Didn't happen.
All right, that's amazing.
I have one more. Do you have one more?
This is my last one. Under Prussia.
All right, my last one's a singing one too. Good morning, starshine.
Oh, I don't know. We might want to table this idea of doing two episodes.
No, it's good. It's good. We're going to keep doing it. We gotta.
All right. Plot synopsis, Gagari 66. Brad finds himself overwhelmed by his new paper route and pays Randy and Mark to do his homework and chores. So, thanks, Gagari.
Yeah, man.
You want to open on tool time?
Yeah, I'll start. Okay.
So can I? One thing I do want to say, I feel 99% sure you didn't catch this.
No, don't say that, because I think I did.
I'm very... Okay, well, go ahead. I'll see if he...
The logo hung himself?
No.
No?
No, not what I was
thinking. Okay, what were you thinking?
So, Heidi says, does everybody know what time it is?
Yeah.
And they pan to the crowd.
Yeah.
And everyone says, you know, tool time, except for one elderly lady. She looks at her watch.
Oh, she's bored.
No, she thought, is Heidi asking what time it is?
Do you think she... Now, what circumstances would you be there and not know that that's coming?
Well, you know, maybe...
Oh, man, I gotta look at this. How'd you notice that?
You know, it was just a second time around when I watched it. I saw it. I was like, no, did that just really happen? Wow. And I went back and looked at it again.
We'll have to post something. I'm gonna make a note of that because I want to post that. Lady checks watch. That's insane.
It's pretty incredible.
So she thought everyone was going to be like, 2:40 p.m. I don't know.
She just thought Heidi was just asking anyone in the crowd, hey, do you know what time is?
Jeez, that's hilarious. Anyways, all right. Yeah, and the logo seemingly hung itself to start the episode.
Had a bad day.
So now we have to speculate again whether or not the logo will be back. It's self-destructive, this logo. I don't know.
It's up and it's down, it's hot and it's cold.
It's wrong and it's right, it's black and it's white. All right, security week on tool time. Let's see what I wrote here. So, security week on tool time, as I just said. I'll say it again just to remind everyone.
If you've said it once, you've said it a million
times.
And you know
what?
It's security week.
I will say it again, probably. They're talking about security measures. There's a joke about bagel and lox. I wanted to ask you, do you like bagel and lox? Do you like lox?
I've never had it, but I imagine I would like it.
Okay, I had it one time. Wasn't for me.
No.
All right, moving on.
Well,
I didn't like it was bitter. I didn't like the taste.
Okay.
Al's, you know, he's thinking more about home security, but Tim, he, you know, Tim is a guy. He likes things.
He likes to take it to a new level.
More power, next level, bigger, better, stronger, faster. So he wants
just like that high school class.
Bigger, faster. That was the title. Bigger, better, faster, stronger, longer. No, BFS football. I took it for a couple of years. Yeah. So they Heidi brings out, and she's wearing. Was she wearing a different dress than she was in the beginning?
Yeah, initially she's just wearing like her normal garb.
That's a fast change. That's a real fast change. She's wearing a fancy dress, and all the men in the audience are really hooting and hollering. It's a, it's nice.
And the grandma looks behind, and she's like, "Are there owls in here?"
The grandma says, "Where am I? What time is it?" She brings out like espionage equipment, essentially very, very advanced spy equipment. You wonder where they got this this equipment. Where it came from. I mean, is Binford coming up with these kind of things?
No, I think this is a whole Tim production.
Or you think Tim? Oh, Tim got all these. First, they talk about the bionic ear, which is what it sounds like. Then they transition into night vision goggles.
Oh, man, you skipped them picking up tool time in French.
Yeah, there's a reason I did.
Night vision goggles.
Because it was dumb. Night vision goggles. I want to get to the meat of this scene, if you know what I'm saying. And that is, you know, at first Al puts on the goggles and it's so bright it hurts his eyes, but they dim down the lights and Al's aren't working for whatever reason, and Tim has to grab for Al's flashlight, and then Al says, That's my flashlight.
I thought it was a screwdriver, flashlight,
same screwdriver. Joke. He said, "I'm going to grab your screwdriver from your tool belt." And he says, that's not my screwdriver.
Real quick. You know, sometimes the show just really throws me for a loop.
Yeah, it's raunchy. There's a couple of kind of dirty lines in this episode. I'm thinking like,
there what? Are. It what starts with like two straight.
I know. And I was like, hey, let's double down. Let's keep it going.
They don't. It's an all evil, sinful episode.
At first, you start with some dick jokes, and then you're getting a freaking cartoon of a sun later on in the episode. So totally, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's a bit out of control. But yeah, that's how we do the opening scene.
It's okay. It's better than a lot of them I've seen lately.
I mean, I was just really happy with finding that grandma. So they could have done anything.
I mean, you love the joke at the end too. Like that's kind of your kind of humor.
Oh, yeah. That's what I live for.
Live free or tired. Next scene.
So Jill and Marie are at home. They're prepping dinner. They're having a conversation about how do you find time with school. And Jill is...
Jill loves having these conversations.
She does. You know, she's been having it rough. She's trying all of these, like, five-minute meals. Tim comes in. And there's this, you know, we've had this joke for seasons now. And I really don't understand it. But basically, they mock Jill's cooking, and they're going to do that throughout this whole episode here. So Tim comes in to make fun of her and her cooking or whatever, and apparently Jill wants to fight back by saying she also got this book called 5 Minutes to Lovemaking, and Tim says, what are we going to do with the other 3 minutes?
Man,
so there's your other joke.
You can't see right now, but I am biting my fist because I don't know what to say about this raunch.
So they quit doing... the raunchy jokes, because Brad's coming in. So
it'd be funny if they just doubled down, kept him coming.
He doesn't know. He's just a
boy.
Kid.
He's 14.
Instead, we learn from Brad that Barry Hudson quit his newspaper route. And we also learn that Barry was notoriously pretty terrible at his newspaper route. He used to hit the roof instead of the door.
Yeah.
I think.
And we learn all this because Marie comes in, and she's just throwing darts. I mean, she has...
Her
joke per minute, I mean, it is very, very high. She's not batting a high percentage, but she has a lot of jokes.
Well, you know, some of them are gonna land.
No, I didn't notice any of them landing, but you know, she kept trying.
And we do also learn after all those jokes that Brad he's been offered this job.
Yeah, he's really taking a lot of initiative, which we have not seen before with Brad.
No, he's he wants the money.
Yeah, he's money hungry. Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
And Tim is right on board. He's into it. Jill says, not so fast.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of strange. I mean, I thought it was kind of strange, and I understand, I guess, how the episode ends. But Jill seemed kind of immediately against Brad getting a job. And I don't know, I feel like if you have a 14-year-old son that is, like, not that, you know, I don't think he's excelling in school. He isn't a real hard
worker.
He's
definitely excelling in saxophone.
Yeah, I've not seen or heard that either. But it just seemed odd that she was kind of immediately against him getting a job. I feel like as a parent, you would be kind of on board for that. Like,
she just wants her kid to be a kid, I think.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess my mom, when I was 16, like,
well, she's always been trying to kick you out of the house.
Yeah, she made
too,
me get, like, she forced me to get a job. Otherwise, I would have never done it. So I guess this is just kind of foreign to me. But
yeah. So Brad, in addition to his band, basketball, busy schoolwork, his girlfriend, he's going to take on this newspaper route. He's going to earn $75 a week. Jill has her doubts, but she agrees as long as he keeps up all the other stuff. So that's where we're at. All right.
Yeah.
I bet you there's going to be kind of something's going to happen there. He's not going to be able to hold everything up.
Nah, I think it'll be fine. Next scene, Marie, she comes in and she's made lasagna because
she comes through the back door again. I don't understand why people do this in this house.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. Jill has exams every couple weeks, every few classes. It's just constant exams.
She's busy.
Yeah, I know. You know, as someone with an advanced degree, I mean, it just wasn't really, I didn't have that many exams, but you know, psychology could be a whole different bag, but she has a lot of exams. She can't cook, you know, Tim could cook. Yeah, Tim could really, he could pick up the slack around there, but
he's too busy, like, trying to find espionage equipment and all the other things that he needs for his show every day.
But Marie's made lasagna. There's some really bad therapy jokes here that are just, like, so bad that I didn't write them down, but I recall, like, there's some sort of an exchange made, like, you make my lasagna and I'll give you 3 free therapy sessions. I don't know. Did you get that at all? I didn't write it down. It's bad.
I mean, you did pretty much the same rendition.
I think it was better the way I did it, but
that gives you an idea.
If you didn't like what I said, imagine what she said.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Jill tastes the lasagna. It's great. Marie also has a review for Brad and his new job, and he's apparently very good at it. I think he hits her husband, Joe Morton, the meat man.
Yeah, Joe Morton is her husband. He's the meat man. When he opens the door, Brad hits him right in the head, which saves Marie the opportunity to do so later on. So, yeah, just again, Marie, she's coming in hot.
Tim comes in, everything smells good, he's confused, and tastes the lasagna, and it says it's great. So, there you go. More jokes at Jill's expense for cooking.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you gonna do? This is home improvement, Jordan. Next scene!
Oh, this is when it gets good.
Alright, are we going to play the music?
Yeah, I think we should just, like, play it right now,
okay, and
then
we'll explain
talk
it.
About
so,
it.
Listen to this sick beat that comes in this next scene, and then we're gonna go through and explain it. But we get something, I would say, very new to Home Improvement. So we're going to play a brief clip. So what you probably just heard was...
And you might still be hearing,
you might still
on how
be
much
hearing
I like
Jordan
the music.
Be layering it in. But we get... And I'm going to ask you a question at the end here, Jordan, about whether or not this is the first montage we've seen. So start thinking about that.
Oh.
But we get a montage of Brad waking up to do his newspaper route. And, you know, it has all the integral aspects of a montage in that it starts with a graphic of a sun...
Mm-hmm.
Along with a song. What is the song saying? Do we know what the song says?
Yeah, I thought it said like work, 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 or
yeah, it's,
job,
it's related to
something
like
that.
Yeah, it's related to like
it's much like Rihanna's song.
I wish it would have been that, but yeah, it's about getting a job. So we get kind of and it's upbeat, kind of happy. You know, you've just heard it. But we get that. We get a sun graphic. We get a lot of Brad looking at the alarm clock as it, you know, the first day it's 5 a.m. He's up and ready to go. You know, he runs downstairs. He's excited. But, you know, we keep seeing him. The montage continues and the sun keeps coming and the music keeps playing. And he's finding it more and more difficult to wake up at 5 a.m. Eventually, you know, he loses steam. The sun graphic, it just continues to shine. And
hey, there's a moon graphic too. Don't sell it short.
I didn't catch the moon graphic. I must have been looking at my phone. It was something I was guilty of for a lot of this episode. But, you know, we know that Brad's really lost his way at the end of the scene because he almost goes out to deliver the newspapers without his pants on.
Man, and it's cold outside.
Yeah, earlier they said it was like 7 below, which is pretty cold. Yeah.
Pretty cold. I think you'd know right away. Which I guess he runs right back inside.
He does learn relatively quickly. So Jordan, do you think this is the first montage we've had on Home Improvement?
Man,
I can't think of any others. Circumstances. There's,
I mean, a lot of times the only other times I can think of like when they've just done music is when they're doing like Tim versus Bob Vila, and they're doing like a race or something.
The only thing I can think of is that episode where there's some bowling with the K&B boys, Jill is superior bowler. I think there's, I don't know, that is the only thing I can think of where a montage would be in play. You know, I feel like bowling lends itself well to montages.
You know, if it didn't happen,
it should have
happened, and now is in our heads. Yeah. So. It's a first. You know, I definitely know there hasn't been any like singing sun and moon doo-wop.
No,
that's
pretty good. Yeah, you're right. Doo-wop is a good way to describe it. Here's a logistical question: shouldn't he be finding it easier to get up with time? I mean, personal experience. You know, after you've kind of gotten used to getting up earlier for an extended period, I feel like it gets easier. He finds the opposite to be true.
I think things are getting harder and harder at school, so maybe he's staying up later and later, getting less and less sleep. And
I mean, I should also say, the idea of a 14-year-old getting up at 5 a.m. and then like having like basketball and stuff after, it's a bad idea. It's way too early to get up at that age.
Yeah, it's rough. They obviously haven't read all the literature on how much sleep teenagers need.
Jill should be, she's probably studying teenagers right now. She should know better. And I guess she did try to put up a fight, but yeah. Great scene. Cool montage. I wish every episode had one of these.
I wish we get it a little bit later too.
Yeah. I wish I should have put one in the reboot. Not too late to go back. Patreon subscribers.
Yeah. This is going to be, you got to save it for the second episode.
That's true. Yeah. The next one. All right. Next scene, Jordan. What do we got?
All right. So later, Randy and Mark come into Brad's room, I think this is the first time we've been in his room, right? Or maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember. He's got some sweet wallpaper. He's got a Smashing Pumpkins poster on the wall.
We saw his bed in the previous montage scene, and he has some like baseball cards on his headboard, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. So he's
it's
got a cool
just
room.
Just like your bed that I saw when I came down. You have a lot of baseball cards on your bed. Which I thought was weird, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, Andrea's very generous.
She loves baseball. It's a pastime.
Yep. The brothers come into Brad's room. They want to play some football. He can't initially because his head is down and he's sleeping. But also, he's very far behind. He's got a paper he's struggling to write. The job is just becoming too tough, and he feels like he can't quit, you know. His dad vouched for him. Yeah, his dad vouched for him. He put it in the terms of, you know, a real man can do this. And, you know, Randy tries to put some perspective in the Randy type of way where he's kind of making jokes and making fun of the situation. But he does say school is a little bit more important and you might have to tell the truth. And Tim comes in as the brothers leave and they have a conversation about how it's going. Brad opens up and Tim just really doesn't want to hear it.
It's almost laughable how he just kind of completely ignores. Like, Brad very much is like, I can't do this. It's too hard.
He just pushes through.
And then Tim is just like, nope. See you later.
You got to see this through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim has never quit anything in his life. And
we find out later on, huh? Yeah, that's not entirely true. But.
And Brad's frustrated at the end of the scene.
Yeah.
He needs some more.
Is this where we get the sealed check, or is that later on?
Yeah, this is also Tim has framed the first check.
Yeah.
So he can't cash.
Yeah, that would make me mad.
But you know what? Dad's going to give him the cash anyway.
Oh, that's good. Later on, I believe we are back in the bedroom. Again, bedroom boys back to back.
This is where there's some
90 back to back champs, bedroom boys.
This is where there's some weird doo-wop music again in this scene.
Good. I mean,
they use it as like a transition since it's in the same
location.
Hey,
you know what? It makes sense that a Detroit-based show would have some Motown every now and then. Frankly, I think they should have more.
It's been long overdue.
I mean, I think that I knew where this was headed the second time around. You know, eventually I think you're watching this Wait, episode.
The second time you watched it, or
the second time that Randy and Mark come in. Yeah, comes in. It's just like a very, very similar scene. So I was not surprised to see it go in this direction. But Randy and Mark come in. Mark comments on how dirty Brad's room is, but he actually likes it. Which is kind of weird.
Mark's a little strange.
Mark likes filth? Okay.
Sure. Yeah, I guess the first time they came into this room, it was nice and clean. So time has passed, and you can tell by how dirty the room is.
And Mark likes that the time has passed. It's filthy. So Randy comes in, and you know, like he eventually propositions Brad, like, "Hey, I'll do your homework. Mark will clean your room," which is hilarious. but you will have to pay us. And the prices are low. Randy's only asking $10 for an A, $5 for a B, but there is a $2 handling charge. So I guess it's like $12 for an A. But that's a pretty good deal.
My guess is he's going to nickel and dime him later as well. Yeah, I mean, if you're outsourcing here, this is outsourcing for kids, basically. Mm-hmm. They probably did this on Kid Nation, too, if you remember that.
Did they go to school on Kid Nation?
I don't know. I think there was a schoolhouse, a meeting house of some sort.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I can't believe that show didn't make it. I thought that was going to be like another version of Survivor, where it was just going to go on and or like real,
it's like
real
Lord
world.
Of the Flies.
It's going to go on and on forever, and it was always going to be kind of relevant. But no,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the problem was there.
I would pay. I mean, I don't know. That paper's going to take him like 2-3 hours, maybe longer for Brad because he seems unable to do such things. But that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, what is he paying Mark?
Do we know?
I don't know. Let's say he only gets five because he's the little brother to do that.
Mark's definitely getting lowballed.
Yeah. So that's like $17 a week. And he's making $75. I mean, it's a decent deal.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
The problem is Brad doesn't want to lie. He's such a good kid.
He's noble. There's nobility. I'm trying to do an inflation calculation here, so I want to see what $75 is now. So if you want to just keep moving, I can get back to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, so he does take him up on it, so I guess he's not super noble. But later downstairs, Marie has made dinner again, and Tim is smelling it. More jokes at Jill's expense. I think there's more of that in this episode than really any plot. But there's lamb stew. It smells great. Brad runs in. He's got his sacks and he's going to go put it upstairs. And Jill asks how the paper went, this Franco-Prussian war.
Which we've heard a lot about at this point.
Yeah, it's been mentioned a couple different times. And pulls out the paper. Brad got an A. And Jill hangs onto the paper, which Brad should know better.
Randy's very excited by the A.
Randy's in there and he's like, yeah, an A.
If I could just come in, $75.
Please, inflation.
Yeah, $75 in January of 1995. Is the equivalent to $124.53 in March of 2018. Wowzers. That's a pretty good haul for a 14-year-old. Like, that's pretty good, I would say. I would do that.
You would?
I would do
now?
That. No, I would definitely do that now. I got enough side hustles, Jordan. You know I'm busy. You know I'm busy, dog. As a 14-year-old boy, I'd be pretty excited with, like, an extra $500 or $600 a month.
That's some cold, hard cash. Yeah. What's he going to do with that, you know?
Yeah, that sporting memorabilia store.
Buy something for his girlfriend.
So, yeah.
He just steals all of his lockets. He doesn't need to
buy them. I wonder if he and Marie can even be in the same room. I mean, after that, it's so awkward.
So she's gonna poison some of the meals later. Sure
this one was like lamb or something. It's pretty expensive stuff. A question I had, I think you had just, I wasn't, you know, I was doing the inflation stuff, so I wasn't listening especially close.
Sure.
But you had just referenced that Jill asked Brad about a specific paper, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on she's able to recognize that Randy has written the opening line before. Did your parents pay this close of attention to your schoolwork? Like, I don't recall my parents knowing when papers were due that I had tests. Certainly never really looked at my work. Is that an experience you had?
You know, my mom proofread a lot of the stuff that I wrote.
Okay.
And perhaps maybe I told her about stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they get most of the details from progress reports.
Like, I don't think my parents had any idea what kind of homework I had on a given night, you know? Jill is what you would now call a helicopter parent, I would say.
Well, I think maybe she needs to keep up on Brad because he isn't,
it's possible.
You know.
But I mean, she knows the opening line
student.
To Randy's Civil War paper. So, I mean, it leads me to believe that she's like that with all the kids.
Perhaps. Maybe she just really, I mean, she loves education.
Her psychology work should teach her that you don't want to smother your children. That will backfire in the end. But
that's a Freudian problem.
She's caught Brad in a lie very quickly. You know, like, it's a really quick solution. I guess they are kids, and kids are kind of idiots, so, like, they shouldn't stretch it out too long. Yeah.
She's tipped off initially to this. Like, she doesn't necessarily think 100% this is what's going on.
Yeah.
But then Mark comes down, emptying Brad's trash can.
Interesting timing there, you know?
Yeah.
A bit convenient. Yeah, it's a cool Lions trash can. I noticed that in this scene, both Brad and Mark were wearing turtlenecks, and you don't often see two turtlenecks in one scene.
Heck no. And Marty wore one last episode.
I know. Yeah. Pretty good.
Turtleneck time.
Pretty good. Yep.
So Mark is confronted here.
He's a heck of a liar, as you'd expect.
It's been a long time since Mark the Narc was here, but he does return in the scene. So they're trying to get the information out of him. He won't quite give up the ghost, and they determine that he is getting more from Brad than the allowance that he gets. So Mark is really, I mean, Mark and Randy must be rolling in the dough right now as this scheme works.
Yeah.
Because they're getting two income sources. They're kind of like you with all your side hustles.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would say that it's a very similar situation in a lot of ways. Similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually Mark spills the beans and why Brad was doing this. He apparently had this conversation. He had to show Tim that he was up to the challenge like a real man.
Like a real man, yeah.
Like a real man. That's bad news, and Jill slaps Tim in the face, basically.
Yeah, Jill punches Tim right in the kidney, and he falls over. And yeah, it's an ugly scene for Home Improvement.
And that's the end of the show.
Yeah, and then, like, Tim falls on the counter and gets a bloody nose, and there's just, like, blood everywhere. It's really bizarre.
Then Mark brings back the Detroit Lions trash can.
And Tim dumps the trash on them. And then he runs to the bathroom because... Yeah.
I don't know why they've teamed up for cahoots at this point, but they have.
Teaming up for cahoots is...
They're in cahoots.
The scene, actually, it doesn't end like we said. She's upset with Tim, but, you know, they don't get violent yet. Side yard fence, you know, we gotta hear from Wilson this episode, so I think we're going to play a clip.
Can you hear me? Loud and clear, audio neighbor. This is great. Two guys talking over a distance. Somebody should have invented this years ago, huh?
Well, I believe they did, Tim. It's called the telephone.
I could have used this to snoop on Brad. I would have realized that Randy was doing his homework and Mark was acting like his maid.
Well, how did that come about?
He hired his brothers because he couldn't do the paper out and his schoolwork at the same time. It was too much for him. If he's having a problem, I wonder why he just didn't come and tell me.
It's hard for a boy to come to his father and expose his fallibility.
Oh, it's not like I haven't seen the kid in the shower before.
No, Tim. What I meant was, did you have any indications that Brad was having difficulties?
No. He said he was tired, that it was becoming a lot of work, he wanted to quit, but other than that, the kid was...
So obviously he did come to you, but maybe you just had trouble hearing what he had to say.
Truth is, I probably wouldn't hurt him no matter what he said.
Why not?
I was so excited about him having that job. I just kept pushing him and pushing him, you know? I just want my kids to be great.
Tim, it's not unusual for a father to want his son to succeed. You know, I'm reminded of what Wally Schirra, the astronaut, said. You don't raise heroes, you raise sons. But if you treat them as sons, they'll turn out to be heroes, even if it's just in your own eyes.
I did push him way too hard. It wasn't on purpose.
I know it wasn't.
Thanks for lending me your ear.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Yep.
Thanks for lending me yours.
Oh. All
right, so outside, Wilson's out there. Tim and Wilson are testing some of that special spy equipment that we saw earlier. There's some dumb lines about, you know, people being able to communicate over distances, and Tim doesn't realize that's what a telephone does.
Oh, you thought that was dumb?
Yeah, well, Tim says he should have used this tool, this is the bionic ear that we're talking about, to snoop on Brad, and then he goes on to explain what happened, and Wilson's got advice, as he always does. There's another joke, a penis joke here, actually, before we get to that.
Yeah, there is, it's weird.
Wilson says, it's hard to expose your fallibility to your father, and Tim thinks...
says
Tim thinks.
What does he say?
It's
like,
he thinks it's a phallus, basically.
Oh, okay. I didn't even get that. Yeah. All right. That makes more sense.
Well, yeah. What joke did you think was happening?
I didn't make the connection between fallibility and phallus. I just knew that it was.
You just
it
assumed
was a
penis
joke
that,
somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this episode's kind
of
set you up for that.
Like you and the writer of this episode.
Lloyd. All right. So, did Brad give any indication that he was struggling? He obviously did. Tim wasn't listening. Tim was so excited. He wants his kid to succeed, which isn't bad, but you got to remember to treat your kid as kids, basically. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to raise your kids to be. You don't want to raise your kids to be heroes. You just raise them to be children.
Raise them to be sons.
Yeah, raise them to be sons or children, or children in general. You know.
Yeah, I think this. I think he's quoting a specific astronaut or something.
Yes, Wall-E.
Mm-hmm. Wall-E.
Yeah. Wall-E. No, the cartoon Wall-E.
Ah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah. Okay. Next scene. Brad comes home, and Tim pretty much immediately confronts him on.
Before we get to that, yeah. Can I just point out another weird thing that happened?
The boys on the computer behind.
No, okay. Tim is like buffing a model car here, and for some reason the crowd is laughing at him. Like, there's nothing funny happening. It's just one of those things where sometimes the studio audience is very confusing. Like, I don't
it's
really understand
like the
what
kind
they're
of
doing.
Thing where before they called action, like maybe
he's
he
making
was like,
some jokes.
Yeah, maybe he was just like really whooping it up and like just really going after it. I don't know. That's my best guess. But yeah, it is. Well, it's like the sticky bun joke that we talked about.
Exactly.
We talked about last week. Wink, wink. A couple hours ago, where it's like I don't. That's not funny to me. Like, I don't know what they're responding to. So it must just be a different experience.
Sorry to interrupt.
Worth
your
it.
Flow
worth
of
it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Brad comes home. Tim confronts him. Brad kind of very quickly tries to, you know, play it off like he doesn't know what they're talking about or doesn't know what Tim's talking about. But, you know, he eventually confesses. Tim is apologetic here. He apologizes for not listening to Brad when he expressed that he was having trouble. And then he kind of confides in him, telling him, you know, I've had trouble as well when I was young. I've never quit a job, but I was fired. And goes into detail about how he constructed some kind of a newspaper cannon.
Yeah, a compressed air gun.
Yeah.
Kind of like the toilet paper thing that we saw earlier.
Yeah, he broke some windows and so on and so
talk
forth.
About foreshadowing.
Yeah, well, I got some questions about that final scene. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, good, because we're going to get to it immediately.
Tim says damn here. It was kind of jarring.
Not, was it?
Presumably not for you. Yeah.
I mean, the really, colonel said it like three times
I know,
last
but
episode.
Tim like really hit it hard, and I was like, whoa. Man, this is good stuff.
This is an evil episode.
Quick aside, have you ever seen the movie The Paper Brigade? It's a Disney movie.
I have not.
Oh, man. Okay. I was hoping you had. It was one of those, like, made-for-Disney movies that came out in 1997. Yeah. I did some research. Any fans out... Fans, listeners, whatever. if you've seen The Paper Brigade, get at me, because it's a fun little Disney romp, and, you know, I could see Brad kind of slotting into those the Brigade of Paper Boys pretty nicely.
Brigade Boys.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger's in that movie, so yeah. I mean, whoa. Yeah, I know you care about that.
Yeah, I do.
Anyways, there goes my good aside. Final scene, Jordan, take it away.
Later at home.
Yes, yes.
I want to take it easy. Mm-hmm. I want to ease into it. Mm-hmm. Tim and Brad, they're counting the money. I think the last episode they decided that you know, they're gonna. Basically, Brad's going to quit his paper route, and then the boys, the bedroom boys, the outsourcing kids, are going to help Tim finish his paper route so he can focus back on his other stuff, and then they'll quit.
Yeah, great.
So that's what happens here. Tim and Brad are counting money that was made this week. Brad comes up a little bit short. I think he's supposed to make like 75, and instead he only gets 60, and he's wondering what happened. Turns out someone who was doing his paper route with the same last name as him broke some windows, ran over a cat's tail, and got slapped by an old woman.
Okay, see, I didn't hear the part where it was agreed upon that, like, Tim and the other boys were going to help him, so I didn't understand why Tim had done anything with the paper route at all. So this kind of...
I would explain it.
I appreciate you. You know, you've explained a lot of things to me, phallus jokes, just logistics of the episode, so it's been good to have you on this episode with me. I thought about doing it alone, but...
Yeah, a lot of times you're really angry at me after the episodes. Yeah. Like, you're like, why do I keep doing this?
I was like,
oh,
I could do this.
Mostly just because
him.
I edit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes I keep you straight. I'm the straight man. Okay, so that's it. I mean, he broke some windows. I don't know why it's only $15 to fix these windows. My guess is it would be more.
Yeah.
But you know, this is 1995 money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do inflation. I don't want to look up window price inflation, but I will.
Yeah, nobody does.
Roll credits fade to black. The root of all evil, aka bike and deliver.
Under Prussia.
Jordan, highs and lows of this one.
I did like that the plot is really centering around something we haven't seen, Brad getting his first job, the responsibility and the balancing of all that good stuff. That was intriguing.
Very. You should put intriguing in quotes. Like, relative to the show, it's intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to take everything with, like, the context of the show. Yeah. Like, we're not watching some blockbuster here. But yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why they continue to, like, make fun of Jill's cooking ability all throughout, like, the series.
Yeah, it's lame, and it's also, like, that... Those,
I feel like she would just
jokes,
not cook for...
Those jokes are why people don't like Home Improvement, because it's, like...
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to argue with that. It's just, like, it's stupid. I don't know. It's not funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's not doing anything for anybody. So, it was nice to get Marie back. You know, she adds a lot of pep and a lot of flavor away from her food and dishes.
I tell you what, I was worried that Edward... covering the episode, I looked it up. I was thinking this might be her last performance in the show, but she has one more after this, so we'll have to pour one out for her. It would be a shame to lose Emmett Walsh and Mariangela Pino in the same day. So
We don't ever see the Mort Man again, or the Meat Man, right?
Mort Man, Meat Man, no man as far as I'm concerned. I don't think we see him ever again.
Yeah, and then, you know, the phallus jokes that are littered throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm.
A bit strange, so I would say highs, doo-wop music and graphics, lows, phallus jokes.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's okay. I mean, it's an okay episode.
Yeah.
Again, like, I haven't had a lot of episodes that I've hated.
Not
in this
terrible.
Season.
No, it's not terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead with your highs and lows.
You know, I just, like, all I could do was compare it to the last episode, which
this morning.
Yeah, because we just watched it. So I liked it better than that one. So ultimately, I harbor fairly positive feelings for it. I mean, highs.
harbor feelings?
Yeah, I harbor them. They're deep within me. And they'll stay.
Sounds like you're trying to shelter something
and
that's
they'll stay with me
very,
forever.
Very naughty.
It's filthy, like Brad's room, and I like it. All right, so highs. I mean, I like the doo-wop montage.
Who doesn't?
It's really, really, like, stupid.
I think we're going to remember that, like, several seasons.
That might be, like, our last episode of the show. We might be bringing up the doo-wop montage. I don't know that we'll ever see anything like it again. It's really strange. It's fine. Like, it's not... It's cheesy. I don't know. When it came on, I was like, this is nice. This is something different. So, it was cool. It was good to see. It felt very sitcom-y, which is sometimes okay. I like the plot being built around Brad. We hadn't seen anything like that in a while. It's, it's a unique plot. Mark saying he likes the room filthy, I enjoy it just because I just don't know what that means. Lowe's, Jill is kind of relegated to a punching bag. It's not really very funny. The jokes aren't especially strong. Penis jokes, besides those, like, when Marie comes in, she has some pretty lousy bits. And then, like, I don't know, the Wilson stuff is just kind of boring. It's a slightly better than average episode. I don't have a lot constructive to say about it. I enjoyed watching it well enough, but sans the montage, it's pretty forgettable.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, with that, we'll move to social media. Sean's social media roundup. If you want to reach out to us, go to thehomeandpodcast.com. We're at Twitter at Home and Podcast, facebook.com/Home and Podcast. Again, if you want to support the show, leave a review on iTunes, or if you want access to the awesome reboot script that Adam wrote, that Richard Karn will certainly endorse.
Yeah, definitely.
You can go to patreon.com/Home and Podcast. If you want a taste of that, you can go on our Twitter or Facebook and it's there as well. So, with that, Adam.
Yeah.
We don't have anything from Twitter.
I mean, nothing.
All right, so it is the question of the week time. It is my turn. Adam.
Jordan.
You mentioned that your mother made you get a job at 16. Brad gets his first job in this episode. I'd like to know about your first job, what you did, you know, how much you made, how much you liked it. details of your first job.
Yeah, okay. My first job, have we not talked about this? I guess we haven't. My first job was, I worked at the grocery store, Kroger, it was called, and I think that, I don't know, they're throughout the country, I know they're in the Midwest, and I was a bagger. I wasn't interested in getting...
Was that your official title, bagger?
It's called courtesy clerk. Yeah, courtesy clerk. Thanks for asking that, Kurt.
I want to give you credit where credit's due.
I was a courtesy clerk. Was I courteous? It's hard to say. My mom, I didn't want to get a job. All of a sudden, she said I needed to get a job. She went into the grocery store, spoke to the manager, and kind of just, like, got me the job. I don't even know how that worked necessarily, but I know that,
I can't wait to tell my story, because it's eerily familiar.
Yeah, like, she came in, like, it was, like, almost like a wink-wink deal. Like, I got a great kid here who loves to work. One of those was true. One of them wasn't. And, you know, like, I applied, got the job. It was pretty easy. Throughout high school, I worked there. I worked there a couple of years, like my freshman and sophomore year after college. I was a cashier, so I graduated to a higher rank. I think my pay was, I want to say $7.25 or maybe $7.45 an hour, so pretty low.
So about the same as you get now.
Yeah, I mean, it's comparable. It's about what I make on this podcast. It was fine. I mostly was an okay job. I was, you know, I think it's good to have a job when you're young, in high school and stuff. So yeah,
it
kept me.
Really taught you. It taught you a lot of responsibility and gave you some plot ideas for your latest screenplay.
That's true. It actually did kind of influence that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a lot. I know that, like, I would get like 8-9 hour shifts bagging, and those were pretty brutal. And, you know, the customers are kind of mean to baggers and cashiers and all that stuff. But yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, so mine's very, very similar. Yeah. There's some weird similarities between that story and mine, which I didn't know. I didn't know all that from you. Mm-hmm. But similarly,
we haven't talked about how I got my job at Kroger before. I don't know why that never came up.
And why didn't you talk about it with me? Yeah. Why are you keeping this kind of stuff from me, man?
Just one more thing before we get into that. One Kroger connection I remember with you.
Kroger King quotes?
Well, that as well. But I remember one time before a shift at Kroger, like, I was, like, hanging out at your house, and I didn't have, like, I only had flip-flops or something, and I had to wear a pair of your dad's shoes, and they were, like, 4 sizes too small, and I got, like, the worst blisters of my life. It was terrible.
That'll teach you.
It was nice of your dad to loan me those shoes.
Yeah, he'd do it anytime.
I mean, he'd give you the shoes off his feet. That's Terry Lyons right. For you. Carry on with your story. It just came into my life.
So you just mentioned my father, which is a great segue into my story. When I guess I didn't, you know, I had a couple of small things. He's a painter, so I worked for him on and off, but that I wouldn't say that really counts. And then, like, I helped doing a basketball camp one time in the summer. I wouldn't count that either. So I would say the first real job was at another grocery store, a rival grocery store, you could say, in town.
There's two grocery stores in Davison, and VG...
Not anymore.
Wait, VG's isn't there anymore?
No, Meijer's there, too.
Oh, true. Okay, well, there were two grocery stores in Davison. Kroger... VG's is, like, the older... fancier, more expensive, I would call it the upper class grocery store, and then Kroger was cheaper. Oh, it was a pretty new store, but it was viewed,
it was still nice,
it was nice, but it was known throughout town that it was the cheaper store, and maybe people of lower income went there, and I don't think that's a stretch to say that. I feel like that was the general perception.
Well, it was certainly much closer to your house, and VG's was right around the corner from my house. Yep. So my dad did something similar. I think it was like just before college or something like that, the summer before college, and for some reason I think they just wanted me to get a job, and I was like, cool. So my dad walked in there, apparently talked me up. I don't even know if I filled out an application or not.
Yeah,
but I had the job. My job was called service clerk. So
yeah,
just
you,
a little...
you didn't work there very long though,
right? No, it was only for like 2 months.
Okay. See, I worked at Kroger for 3 years.
A little bit different. Certainly didn't go up any ranks, but I did make an impression. So.
I'll tell you what, man. You should have stuck around, because I played in a Kroger softball league. It was a good time. I gave a lot of my life to that store.
Well, you know, you got the job 2 years before I did. That's true. So yeah, I think that was the problem. So
you made it sound like VG's was a lot closer to us. Let it be known that VG's and Kroger, roughly, would you say they're a mile apart? No more than they're pretty close.
A little bit further than that. To be fair, you know, Davison is not a big place.
This is true. This is true. Jordan, good question. Yeah, that's all. That's it.
That's it.
Goodbye, everybody. Are we doing a third episode today?
Yeah, we might as well just keep the marathon going.
We'll keep it rolling. Well, listeners, thank you for listening. Jordan, what are we covering next week? I do need to ask that. Yeah.
Hold the reins.
Sorry.
Brother, can you spare a hot rod?
How many episodes have hot rod the title? Brother, can you come up with a better title? All right, well, we'll look forward to that. Jordan, thank you for joining me, listeners. Thank you for listening. And I guess I should say, take care.
Take care, everybody.